course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not too bad. Can't complain. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, so
Yeah.
yeah.
They're all beautiful days if you make them beautiful.
That's right.
And this episode, we are reviewing the new theatrical release, Until Dawn, but we've got lots to do before then. And let's start off. Ike, did you watch anything this week?
Let's see. So, didn't watch any movies, but we finished another show. No, I think we finished the other show last time we talked, and we started You, the show on Netflix. I don't know if I'd call You like explicitly like horror, but it's like thriller, stalker kind of stuff. So, we started watching that, and we're plugging away at that because there's a fifth season of that comes out. So, we just finished season one, started season two, and we're just going along. After we finish this, we're gonna watch The Last of Us because the season two is out. So, pretty excited about that. But for now, we're just watching You.
All right. Yeah, we're getting ready to watch season two of Last of Us as well. But otherwise, I didn't really watch anything horror related at least. Yeah, there you go. All right, then. I guess we'll just move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you either a cheesy, low budget, or just out and out ridiculous horror movie. Typically, we try to fit it in with our kind of our theme of the show, kind of the flavor of our review movie, and kind of keeping with that, and the video game adaptations, we present to you the movie Doom. This movie was released October 21st, 2005, written by David Callaham and Wesley Strick, directed by, oh my, Andrzej Barkowiak? I'm not sure. I apologize, sir. Sorry, Carl Urban, Dwayne Johnson, Rosamund Pike, and others. The movie is described as Space Marines are sent to investigate strange events at a research facility on Mars. But they find themselves at the mercy of genetically enhanced killing machines. Now, this movie did gross $15,488,870 domestically on its opening weekend. Good for number one. But that was kind of the peak, I believe it hit, because it only grossed $58,072,119 worldwide total after it was made on a budget of $60 million. So it didn't even get back to its budget. It kind of fell off after that opening weekend. I've heard lots of bad things about Doom. I've never seen Doom. Ike, have you seen Doom?
I sure have.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
Honestly, so in the original Doom video games, they're not fighting against like cybernetic creature, yeah, genetically enhanced creatures or machines or whatever. They're fighting against demons from a different like a different like it's like a portal that opens up and it's like demons from a different realm. So I didn't really care for that change, but otherwise, it's a very fun, very enjoyable action movie. It's by no means like the best or super faithful to the source material, but it's a lot of fun. You definitely have to kind of suspend any prior knowledge of Doom, but otherwise, it's enjoyable enough.
All right. Well, there you have it. Doom. I feel like there's plenty of people that have probably watched it out there, whatever. I'm not one of them, but yeah, I don't know. It's I guess as far as video game adaptation, it's one of the, I guess, the cheesiest. The I don't know. I don't know what else we could have put in this slot. So Doom got it. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or simply discuss a talking point that we picked up off of social media. And this week, it is that. It is the point, horror or not, it could be a horror movie or not a horror movie. What is your favorite video game movie adaptation? I'll go first. Mine's pretty simple. It's not horror. I completely loved the Super Mario Brothers movie that came out a couple years ago now. I don't know how long it's been now. I thought the movie was great. I thought it captured the flavor, the fun of the games. I thought it had enough Easter eggs and stuff that, you know, any level of fan could pick up on some things. I thought it had, you know, a good story. I thought it moved along well. The animation looked great. I just loved it. I thought it was fun. It's one of those kind of those comfort type movies that I really liked. I do have a non-movie. I have a very, very sentimental spot in my heart for the 80s cartoon series Pac-Man, because I grew up watching that. Absolutely loved it then. I love it now. I love the game Pac-Man. Love pretty much any incarnation. And the cartoon series was just good fun for a guy my age. So Ike, what are your favorite video game adaptations?
Wow. All right. So people who have watched the show or listened to the show for a while, I bet a lot of people might think that I'm going to say Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. They might say he's going to say the Resident Evil movies, but it's not. My all-time favorite video game adaptation, like just generally speaking, not necessarily directly horror, is the 1995 Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, yeah, that is a good choice.
That movie, I have it on DVD. I rewatch it every couple years just because, and probably more frequently than that, but you know, it's one of those movies that, like, it is so close to the source material that people don't like it because of how close it is to the source material. You look at the source material of Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat was made just as a fun fighting game. So basically what they had to do was that they had to take, like, the very brief little snippets of backlog and epilogue and prologue stuff from these individual characters, and they formulated a story sort of around it. And it is weird to me because this movie was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who did he later on would do, like, the Resident Evil movies and all kinds of other stuff. But Mortal Kombat was sort of one of those, you know, progenitor type movies. I think the very first, like, video game adaptation movie, I could be wrong, is probably like the Super Mario Brothers movie from, like, the late 80s or whatever it was. But to me, the Mortal Kombat movie is easily one of the best video game adaptation movies of all time. But it is also just a kick-ass fighting movie that just so amazing. Even the sequel's pretty good. It's a little cheesier, in my opinion, but it's called, like, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And then during COVID, they actually did a remake of Mortal Kombat on HBO that's really, really good, but it did not get a lot of hype on it. But they're making another one, so hopefully it'll get, like, a theatrical release and we'll get to see more Mortal Kombat goodness.
Yeah, I've not seen any of the subsequent movies, but yeah, I do. The first one, it is a fun movie. I forgot about that one. Doesn't change my picks per se, but that is a good pick. So, all right. So hit us up on social media. Let us know what your favorite video game adaptation is in either movie or TV, whatever you pick, whatever you want. Just hit us up. So, all right, then let's move on.
Stump the co-host.
And when this releases, it is the first episode of May. That means it's time for Stump the Co-host. This is the horror trivia game that Ike and I play, where we have identical horror trivia decks. We pick two cards each that is four trivia questions. We alternate questions to try to determine a winner. If there is a tie, we continue to play until a winner is determined. So far for 2025, defending champ Ike leads 3-2-1. So, Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I am ready.
All right. Well, I usually make you go first, so let's that didn't pan out for me. So let's try something different. I'll go first this time.
All right. You ready for your first question?
Probably not, but let's go ahead anyway.
All right. In the 1984 movie Silent Night, Deadly Night, who does the murderer dress up as?
Santa Claus?
That is correct.
Boy, that wasn't difficult, was it?
No, it was not.
Especially since I absolutely love that movie. And remake coming, by the way.
That's
If
right.
anybody asks her. So, all right, your first question. We have such sights to show you. That's a quote. Name the movie.
Hellraiser.
That is Hellraiser, correct?
Very good. All right. Your second question. What movie franchise that began in 2004 featured torturous traps, self-amputations, and buckets full of blood?
I'm guessing that would be Saul.
That is correct.
All right. Woohoo! All right, then, your second question. In the movie Aliens, why did Ripley not want to bring Bishop on the mission?
Well, I mean, she didn't trust them, and because he was a synthetic, right?
Correct. He was an android. Yes. All right. Woo-hoo. We got ourselves a barn burner here.
Barney. All right. Your third question is, what is the name of the character in Poltergeist who says, "They're here"?
Care, is it Carrie Ann? No, wait, that's a different movie, isn't it? I don't know. I'll just think of that. What is it?
It's Carol Ann.
Carolyn, that's yes. Why did I say Carrie? Fudge! Fudge, fudge. I overthought it. That way I said the wrong thing. I don't know, sir, why I said Carrie.
I mean,
Ah, brother.
carrying a novel from Dancing with the
Nah, that wouldn't be it.
Stars.
All right, here's your third question. What is the name of the main character who studies witchcraft in the TV show Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Oh man. So it's not. No. Am I overthinking this? I might be overthinking it because I've seen some of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I'm guessing it's not Buffy. I think it's the professor dude that like it's like their mentor. I don't know. I don't know his name. It's been a long time since I've seen the show.
Well, that is Giles. He's the Watcher, and that is not the correct answer. It is Willow Rosenberg. Willow. It is
Gotcha.
that Alyssa, what's her name, please? The American Pie girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck,
It's
what's
her
her name?
character.
I don't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, I've got another shot.
right. Your fourth question is, what is the name of the demon group summoned by the puzzle box in the movie Hellraiser?
Oh my God. Oh fuck, why can't I not think of this? Holy shit, it's like right there. And I can, for some reason, I cannot retrieve it. Oh my God. Oh shit. Fuck, it's like right there. Why can I not think of this word? Oh my God, no. Oh my God. This is such an easy one too.
It's yeah.
Oh, this is an easy question, but for some reason I cannot think of this name. It is like literally like right there. It's like one of those tip of the tongue things, but for some reason I can picture them. Oh shit, I'm going to fucking die when I hear it. Oh my God. Oh. I don't know. For some reason, I cannot retrieve it at all. Go ahead.
Oh, it is The Cenobites.
God, yes! Son of a bitch. Oh, that is not the question to lose on. Oh. I am so disappointed. You're probably gonna get this one right too. Oh my God, that's bummed me out.
So we that, so you have two and I have two, right?
Yeah, we're 2-2, and
Okay.
this is the last regular round question, but this is not a very hard one. Michael Myers' mask is supposedly based on what famous actor?
Oh, the guy from Star Trek, his name is, oh my God. What the fuck is his name?
Must be contagious.
I was gonna say your stuff's rubbing off on me. His name is Captain Kirk. Is it acting the character's name or the actor's name?
The actor's name.
Oh fuck. Captain Kirk's name is his name is Fuck, not Leonard Nimoy, not George Takei. Oh man, I can't even think of it. Man, that's disappointing. Yeah, I my brain is I don't know. I think your the
Oh,
Cenobite thing rubbed off on me.
I dodged a bullet there. It is
William
William Shatner.
Shatner.
Oh, I got new life. Holy
Oh,
cow.
good old Jimmy Shatner.
Oh, Bill.
Old Bill.
All right. So we're going into sudden death. That means we continue on. We go question by question until we get a winner. If someone gets their question right, then it's the other's turn. Like, since it's my turn, if I get this right, you do get a chance to tie back up. And we go until a winner's determined here. So, all right, then, bring it on. Let's keep going.
All right. Your next question is, this 2000 film is about two sisters named Ginger and Bridget who struggle with the idea that one of them is a werewolf.
Is that Ginger Snaps?
That sure is.
Oh, all right. You have to get this right.
All
Here
right.
we go. This might be in your wheelhouse. What 2012 slasher film is a story about an annual ritual? Oh, excuse me, an annual ritual sacrifice to appease the quote unquote ancient ones?
That is Cabin in the Woods.
It is. What a shit film.
Hey, that's a good movie. I like that movie.
Not me. Damn. All right.
Right.
Pressure back on me again.
Your next question is, which film in the quote-unquote Alien series is set in Antarctica?
I don't even know if I know this. In Antarctica, huh?
And it's in the like the Alien series, like the Ridley Scott movies.
Hey, let me I'm not sure I know which one this is. Let me just guess. I don't know. Aliens 3?
That is incorrect. It
It
is
is.
Alien versus Predator.
Okay. I wasn't even thinking about that one.
I the way the question is worded, it makes it seem like it's one of the Alien movies.
That's all right. I still wouldn't have, probably wouldn't have got. I think I've only probably seen that movie once, so I'm not sure I would have recalled that. That's what I was sitting there thinking. It's like, I don't know. I don't remember an Aliens movie in Antarctica, but whatever. All right, then. Here's your chance to win. Which 1958 creature feature starred Steve McQueen in his first role? Boy, that's not in your wheelhouse.
That's definitely not my wheelhouse. Steve McQueen, creature feature. I'm just gonna go out on a limb. You said 58 or 52?
58.
58, creature from the Black Lagoon.
No, it is the blob.
No. Wouldn't have guessed that.
All right. Well, we get to go another round. Oh, it's my turn, right?
All right.
All right.
Yep, it is your turn for double overtime. Right. What substance is dumped on the main character at the prom in the movie Carrie?
Oh man, I know they're wanting the, are they wanting the specific type of substance, like specifically what the source of the substance too?
Yeah, the creature in which the blood comes
Yeah,
from.
okay. That's what I'm, ooh.
Because we both know it's blood.
Yes, I think, God, I hope I'm right about this. I think it's pig's blood.
You are correct. It is pig blood.
Right. I thought so, but
All
I wasn't sure. So, all right, then to tie it. Man. Paris Hilton's on-screen demise was the primary draw for what 2005 remake?
That was the House of Wax.
Yes. I like how they word
All
that.
right.
They word that exactly how I do. I'm saying, that's the best thing about that movie. That's what it says, the primary draw. That's funny.
It
So
happens.
I'm not the only one that thinks that.
No, not at all. I think most people who see that movie probably think that. Lord, bad. This next question, and we were just talking about this movie, actually. In
Oh, no.
what 1989 movie did Fred Gwynne tell his neighbor how he can make his son Gage live again?
Make his neighbor live again?
No, so in this 1989 movie, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase the beginning. In what 1989 movie did Fred Gwynne tell his neighbor how he can make his son Gage live again?
Oh, okay, gotcha there. Oh, Pet Sematary.
That is correct.
Gotcha. I was trying to think, Fred Gwynne of the Munsters. What movies was he in? There we go. All right, then, to tie it up and send it to another round. In the 2017 movie Get Out, what technique does the mother use to get her daughter's boyfriend to quit smoking?
Was hypnosis, yeah.
It was hypnosis.
I was about to
Woo! What a battle we got going here. It's tied 5-5.
like, ooh. Oh my God, okay. So your next question, you're gonna know both of these.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, one of these I just asked you a question about, so you're probably gonna get it. And the other one is related to another question I just asked you, so.
All right.
All right. What movie features an alien hunter hiding in the jungle using trees and camouflage?
Is it Predator?
Sure is.
Wow. Okay, then. Here we go to tie me up. Where is the 2008 movie The Strangers entirely set?
Does it want like the city and state
No,
or
no, no, no.
okay, well
Just the setting.
it's just the house.
Yes, in a house.
Oh,
Yes.
okay. I was about to be like, oh fuck, I don't know when the movie took place. God
I'm
damn.
like, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, did I even tell the city and state? I don't remember
In the backwoods.
that. Somewhere creepy.
right.
All right, here we
Well,
go.
like I said, you're gonna get this one. We just talked about it. Okay. It's a quote, so you have to name the movie from the quote. The quote
Okay.
is, "They're here."
Is it Poltergeist?
It sure is.
I swear, if I win this, it's gonna be cheap because I'm getting some lucky shit here.
Was gonna say that one literally, that two of those were from movies that we just talked about. Good Lord.
All right, here we go to tie me. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Buster Keaton's granddaughter, Camille Keaton, starred in what controversial 1978 graphic revenge flick that was later remade in 2010?
So, no, God. Okay, so this is either I Spit on Your Grave or Last House on the Left, because both of these movies came out around that time, and they are, approximately about the same thing. Oh, fuck, why do I not know, like, the actors and stuff? Like, that's just, yeah. Okay. What was the actress's name?
It is Camille Keaton, but she was in the 78 original.
Okay.
Buster Keaton's granddaughter, Camille Keaton, starred in what controversial 1978 graphic revenge flick that was later remade in 2010?
Okay. I'm just gonna guess it is I Spit on Your
That is correct.
Grave. Fuck.
Holy shit. Here we go. Have we ever had a 7-7 tie?
I don't think so. I think the only time that we've ever gotten this far, I think it was like one or two cards. It wasn't this many.
Yeah, we're gonna have to keep the review short because this is gonna be like it'll take forever. All right, then bring it on.
All right. What does the green liquid contain in the 1987 film Prince of Darkness? I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure you've gotten Prince of Darkness questions before, and you're like, ooh.
What does the green liquid contain?
Yeah, so the green liquid contains the essence of something.
I don't know. I'm just going to say the essence of a demon.
I'm giving it to you. It was the essence of Satan, so that's close enough.
Okay. All right.
Because you've never seen that movie, have you?
No, I have not.
So you, the fact that you even got in the ballpark, I think that does that deserves a point.
Okay, then to tie. Oh, what 2010 psychological horror film contains a sun that astral projected into a realm called the Further?
That would be Insidious.
That would be Insidious. 8-8. Here we go. Bring another.
All right. An investigator ends up on a Scottish island where the inhabitants have an unhealthy obsession with sexuality in this 1973 film.
Oh, fuck. We might be in trouble here. Oof, da.
This movie was also remade. It was remade in 2006.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably kick myself then. Shit. I got nothing. I don't know. What is it?
It is The Wicker Man.
Okay. I don't know anything about the original, but okay. Here we go. For the win. Oh my God. Where are the phone calls coming from in the movie When a Stranger Calls?
Did you hear me?
No. What, I didn't hear anything. What'd you say?
Oh, I whispered it trying to be funny.
Oh,
I
no.
said, they're coming from inside the
That is correct. No, I didn't hear anything. Oh, and the bar burner, you win 9-8. Unreal.
that was a well-fought victory.
The next closest we've had was one time you won 6-5. So,
That was intense.
that's right. That was pretty good. That's pretty good.
There
All
were a couple
right.
curveballs in there. William Shatner and the Green Ooze.
Yeah, what cracks me up is we both got stumped on fairly easy questions. And
It's
in the same round.
that's it. That's always how it is. That is always how it is.
So that's pretty wild. So, all right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have our news and birthdays and anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off, Project MKHEXE is now on Screambox and is described as Tim, an amateur filmmaker, returns home to film his brother Sean's funeral after his apparent suicide. In the days that followed, Tim discovers Sean's obsession with an internet urban legend that does not exist about a secret government mind control experiment gone horrifically wrong called Project MKHEXE. We will be reviewing this movie next episode, but I'm hearing stellar reviews about this. I even got to see a little teaser for it on TikTok. And I got to say, I'm actually pretty excited for this. Now, this is, as we talked about this last week, internet urban legends are always fun, and especially one that's based in reality. It's going to be good, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm super psyched for this. I don't know. This is one of the movies that's got me most excited that we've reviewed so far this year, I think. I'm super psyched. I don't know. Kind of slipped in under the radar, but when I heard about it and heard the description, I'm like, oh, this is sounds intriguing. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing this.
Absolutely. So good stuff. We'll check that out. And we'll have our official review next week. So if you want to know what we thought about it, listen next week. Moving on to Sinners was at number one at the box office domestically for the second weekend. That's a perfect little shot at the people who backhandedly commented that it had yet to make its budget back. So I think that's a definitive. They can suck these nuts. And Sinners is still rocking and rolling and going strong. Theaters around here are still crazy busy.
Yeah, and I don't think the earnings dropped off much from the first weekend either. I'm pretty sure they've already crossed their budget line, and we're just talking. These are just domestic numbers that I was seeing. So, yeah, they can forget it. That it was a great movie. It has performed great. It is doing well. It's competing against, you know, like the Minecraft movie and other movies that have a lot of across the board appeal. So yeah, they can just all blow me. It's a great movie.
No, absolutely. So, but if you haven't watched it yet, check it out. It's still in theaters. I'm sure they'll turn around and have it up sooner than later. But for now, still in theaters. So give it a watch if you can.
That's right. You can hear our review for in our last episode.
Absolutely. Stellar review, by the way. But
if we do say so ourselves.
If we do say so ourselves. Not to toot my own horn, but toot toot. All right. And something we knew was going to happen. This is something that I think Dave had mentioned at some point in the past, and we had commented on how it would probably work out pretty good. But the Cinderella-based body horror movie, The Ugly Stepsister, is coming to Shudder on May 9th. This is super exciting. Another, you know, public domain horror film on the books, and it's a body horror film. I think body horror films are incredibly underrated. You know, it's in the same genre as melt movies and stuff of that nature. So body horror is just, it's one of my favorite types of horror that is just not super utilized in modern horror. Cause you know, in my opinion, body horror really relies on practical effects, and a lot of times it's digital effects these days, and it's harder to do, harder to make look good, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if you know, Cinderella is perfect for it, because if you know anything about the original Grimm story, I mean, like, you know, the stepsisters are like cutting their feet off trying to get in the glass slippers and stuff like
Right.
that in the original. So, yeah, it works for something like this, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing this. You know, well, we know what Ike and I think about the public domain horror. If you didn't know by listening to us, you heard it all in the Wiser Battle a couple of weeks ago. We like it, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Just, you know, coming up here in a couple weeks, or well, I guess just a week or so from when this drops, it'll be on Shudder. So that's super exciting.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. So we'll probably talk about it in one of the next episodes, I'm sure.
Sure, sure.
But good stuff. Shudder, as always, knocking it out of the park. Now we have a trailer for Fear Street Prom Queen, now available. Fear Street, of course, is it's an R.L. Stein IP that they've, you know, procured to make some movies about on Netflix. And they have three movies currently. It's part of a trilogy, and it's super good. Some of the best stuff that I think has come out of Netflix in a long time. And this looks just as good. It looks incredibly interesting, and I think it's going to do good. I think it's going to be really, really gory and fun.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. Super liked it. Set in the 80s. Feels like an 80s kind of thing. The way the film is. So yeah, I'm super excited about this. I think this might be the best so far. So I'm looking forward to it. So
And next, we have Drop is now available on video on demand and will be released on physical media on June the 10th. Drop is a horror film where they, if I remember correctly, it's the lady that has a date and there's like someone like trying to get her to like kill the date, right?
Yeah, something like it. Yeah, it's like a lady goes on her first date in a while or something. Yeah, yeah. I don't know a whole lot about it. Haven't really seen any trailers, but just I it could be a great movie. It's not a video on demand movie for me. I'll wait for streaming, but for anybody that's interested, yeah, it's there.
Absolutely. But should be good, should be fun. I'm excited. I'm always down for any movie that comes out, especially if it's on streaming and
Sure.
I could
Yeah.
watch it on the weekend, you know.
That's right.
So moving on to a reboot of Urban Legends property is in the works by Screen Gems, and the new movie is reportedly going to explore urban legends in the digital age. Now, this is great because I think that a lot of the urban legends and things that kind of fall into the creepypasta genre are still pretty untapped as far as potential goes, and Urban Legends is a really cool, like modern. It's pretty meta for the time because they talked about internet urban legends when it came out in like 1999 or the 2000 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it will be urban legends from the internet when it wasn't dial up.
That's right.
but yeah, no, I'm super excited about this. It's weird. I feel like they're remaking a lot of these like late 90s, early 2000s properties, like I Know What You Did Last Summer, and this one as well.
Yeah, and I feel like we've talked about this. A thing like this, an urban legends thing, there's no reason to stop making these. I mean, it's like you could, I mean, unless you completely overdo it, you never run out of source material. And I'm super glad they're bringing it up and doing some, the digital age stuff because, it's a whole new flavor of the original while keeping the same theme, and it'll work. And I'm super excited. It should be fun.
Absolutely. But good stuff. And then our last little bit of news is unfortunate news that we have to impart. But Friday 13th, part 8, 7? Yeah, it's part 7, The New Blood. Sorry, horrible, horrible with Roman numerals. The star of that movie, LaParque Lincoln, has passed away on April 22nd at the age of 63. Yeah, she was not very, very old whatsoever. I mean, it's very sad to see. You know, she was an incredibly bright star during that film. One of the few redeeming qualities of that movie, you know, there were few, but she was one of the redeeming qualities, I feel like. So it's very sad to see her depart, but you know, she'll be missed, of course.
Yeah, it's just wild. It's like, I don't know. I guess when any of these celebrities, they pass away, I guess you don't ever expect it, but there's some when they're, of age, and you think, oh, okay, that's sad, but they're, whatever, 90 or whatever. It's not that's it, this is yeah, this is kind of surprising. I don't know. There's no cause given. I don't know whether they will give a cause. That's okay. That's up to the family. That's their prerogative. So be it. Yeah, it's just sad. She was I don't know, she did a lot of conventions. She was one of those that I kind of always wanted to see at a convention that I hadn't got the opportunity to and would have liked to have, and not unfortunately, she's gone. So and I'm not saying that's the priority, right? I that's not the important part. But I do feel for her family and her friends and people she's worked with and everything that knew her really well. It's a These are always sad. I always hate, when someone horror is such a thing that, right? I mean, she has one. I'm not knocking her. I'm not saying this derogatory, but she has one big role in a big franchise, right? And she's held in such high esteem. That's all it takes in horror, right? It's just you don't have to have. Not saying she didn't, but I'm just saying you don't have to have this role after role after role. All you have to do is just, make one appreciated role and one appreciated movie, and horror fans don't forget you. And it's just It's sad when those people, the people that we all appreciated so much and were so important to us, are gone.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's one of those things where, she had that role so long ago, but people just, I mean, they still rally behind her. I think she did convention appearances and people were always excited to see her. And it's like you said, it's always crazy, especially when, they die relatively young. I mean, 63 isn't young, young, but it's still young. I mean,
It
people live
is.
into their hundreds. I mean, it's young.
It's odd because I could not tell you one other movie she's ever done, one other appearance of any sort she has ever done work-wise. But if she had walked past me in the street, I would have recognized her because of this one role. That's I don't know. To me, that's always one of the beautiful things about horror is fans truly appreciate every piece of work. And they remember those people who maybe only had the one kind of standout in the spotlight kind of opportunity. And they don't forget that, right? And those, it's just I love that. And again, I'm not saying she didn't have a wide-ranging or broad career. I'm not familiar. And she could have, and I hope she did, but I will always know her from the New Blood. From New Blood, and just the way it is. So,
Absolutely. Very good. And like you said, she'll be missed. And hopefully everyone goes out and watches Friday the 13th, Part 7 in her honor. And then goes and watches the rest of Friday the 13th movies as well.
and appreciate that wonderful effect of the dock shaking when the dad. That's what an effect that is.
Truly remarkable. Truly remarkable. Oh Lord. But I anyways, without besmirching the name, I can't. Moving on to some upcoming birthdays. We have May 2nd, 1965, Ari Lehman, young Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th. The guy that, jumps out of the water and the sound effects play. Yeah, that's a very important role. Very, very tentative for that, that time frame for that film. It really set the tone for the next movie that, hey, maybe this guy's still alive. But I know that Ari, he's done other stuff too in the over the years, so I know this is not his only thing that he's done, but surely I would venture to guess this is probably what he's most known for.
Again, it's what I say, right? This guy, Ari does conventions nonstop based on this role, which was just a matter of seconds. But everybody remembers. He plays music in his band. I'm pretty sure he calls the Jasons based on the, it's just, that's what I'm talking about. That is one of the beautiful things about horror. I mean, this guy played young Jason Voorhees for just a matter of seconds in this first movie. And people will forever remember him. We will not let him be forgotten for that. It's
Yeah.
so remarkable.
It truly is. Absolutely. It's always the smallest roles, the smallest things that always seem to have the biggest impacts. So very good. Happy birthday to Ari. And we're gonna move on now to May 3rd, 1960. We have Amy Steele, another Friday the 13th alumni. She plays
Yeah.
Jenny in part two. She's also from April Fool's Day, so crazy, crazy number of people from Friday the 13th in this week, but that's still, it's really cool.
Yeah, Jenny was a she was a great final girl. I liked her. I thought she did a I thought it was I thought it worked. It was a pretty good job. So yeah, I like her.
And that's part two, so that's like the iconic scene with the pitchfork where she's like holding it up in front of her.
That's right. Yep.
There you go. So very, very cool. So happy birthday, Amy. Moving on now to May 4th, 1977. Emily Perkins, known as Becky in Supernatural, and she also plays Ginger Snaps. She plays not Bridget, the other one, and she's also in It. So obviously, Emily Perkins is a legendary for her role in Supernatural. But Ginger Snaps, I think, is my favorite of her works so far. If I had to choose.
And it's so remarkable that it's like I knew her in Supernatural, I knew her in Ginger Snaps, And it's like it took me a while to make that correlation that she young Emily was in the original It. It's pretty crazy. I mean, that's quite a career right there, just on those three alone.
No, absolutely. And it's sort of weird because it's like you have kid Emily and It, you have teenage Emily and Bridget, and then adult Emily and Supernatural. So like all three phases of her life, she's had pretty iconic roles, I would say.
All right, yeah.
But very good. So happy birthday, Emily. Moving on now to May 5th, 1889, jumping back to the 1880s, Jack Pierce, the original Universal Pictures makeup artist. So he would have been responsible for what I presume are a lot of the makeup and effects of the early monster movies from Universal, which are pretty incredible.
Yeah, not some, all the
All.
old, the original monsters. He did those. And it is remarkable to think how much his work has become part of pop culture and so many people don't know. I mean, some of the prototypical Frankenstein, the monster, the prototypical Dracula, the almost prototypical werewolf, that those are Jack Pierce designs, work, whatever. He made those a thing. And just so incredible. And so just so underappreciated.
Absolutely. It's one of those things too. It's like, what is it? Hindsight's 2020. So
Yeah.
this guy barely got any recognition back then, but he's probably responsible for the majority of like special effects and things that, have spawned and trickled down through time. So I
Sorry?
guess a very big happy birthday to Jack this week.
Right.
But moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries, weirdly enough, May 1st, 1981, Friday the 13th, Part Two. That's actually really cool. I mean, it's really neat that Amy had a birthday shortly after the release of that, which is really
Yeah,
pretty cool.
that's pretty crazy, right? She has a movie, right? This movie release with her and starring role, and 2 days later, it's her birthday.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotta. That'd be good times, man. That was a good year for her. It's got to be fun.
That's what I was gonna say. It's very interesting. It's crazy because I'm sure that nobody realized that at the time, but they're like, oh hey, but very good movie. So we've talked about it, so I won't dwell too long on that. But funny coincidence, man. Funny coincidence. But all right, moving on to May 3rd, 1996, we have The Craft. Of course, The Craft is, I would say, a pretty iconic witchcraft movie. Stars Neve Campbell as well as the girl who is in Waterboy. It is off the top of my head, can't remember her name. It is Fairuza Balk, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And it also stars Skeet Ulrich from Scream fame as well. So qu quite a few Scream alumni in this movie too.
Yeah, and again, we've always talked about those nine some of the 90s horror that is underappreciated. And this I think this would fall in that, right? It's and like you said earlier, right? We're starting to see some of those kind of come back into the consciousness of the horror fan, and getting some sequels and remakes and this and that, and so who knows? Will the craft be served up again soon in some capacity? Never know.
True. I know they did like another Craft movie like recently, but I don't think it had any of the legacy cast members. I think it was just a complete reboot.
I didn't even know that.
But yeah, it was, oh man, it was called The Craft Legacy, I think is what it was called, from 2020. I think it was straight to streaming since it was during COVID, so
Course it was.
that's probably why.
Well,
But
you
anywho.
never know when that property will come back.
That's true. I'm sure it'll be up sooner than later.
Never know.
But very good. Check that out if you guys haven't. It's on streaming somewhere, I'm sure.
Witches are always cool.
True. But we have some upcoming releases. We have Clown in a Cornfield will be coming to theaters on May 9th. It is described as a fading Midwestern town in which Friendo the Clown, a symbol of bygone success, reemerges as a terrifying scourge. Clown in Cornfield is based on a book by Adam something or the other. Already forgetting things. I actually
Adam.
Read all three of these. Not just Adam. No, it's Adam Cesare. Yep, Cesare.
There you go.
And it's directed by Eli Craig. And the only reason I bring that up is because Eli Craig actually directed a movie, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that movie.
I have not. I've heard a lot of pretty fun things about it. It's one of those I keep wanting to watch, and I keep forgetting about it.
So good. So good. Tucker Dale vs. Evil is such a good movie. So I'm hoping that, you know, he can bring some of the talent from that movie to this movie.
Yeah, this is, again, another movie that, for whatever reason, I'm super, super psyched about. I don't know. I have a thing about clowns and horror. That just, it works for me, right? I love Pennywise, especially the original, right? Love Art the Clown. I don't have a fear of clowns or anything like that. But it's just, they just work. I think they make great horror characters. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I am super psyched about this movie. And so this is another one that's coming out soon that I'm just really looking forward to. And I can't wait.
No, absolutely. I'm very excited as to, like, I think I talked about it a lot, but I read the book, and the book is super good. So much so that I got Kayla, my wife, to read the book as well, and she really liked the book as well. So it's, you know, I'm really excited to be able to watch it and, you know, be able to say, like, yeah, I read the book, and, you know, I want to see, like, how they interpret things and everything else. So, but even besides the book, it's going to be a fun killer clown movie. Like, I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
That's right.
But very good. And our other little upcoming release is Weapons from Zach Krieger, who wrote and directed Barbarian and who is also making the new Resident Evil movie coming out next year around my birthday. It opens in theaters on August 8th. It is described as an interrelated multi-history horror epic about the disappearance of high school students in a small town. Interrelated multi-story horror epic is a mouthful. Well, let me tell you that.
Sure is. And yeah, well, I mean, I feel like you give that kind of description, you're setting yourself up for, like, you better achieve. You better make me think, because that's a lot of multi-syllable words trying to say that you're really being really clever. And if you're not, I'm just gonna rage on you. But no. I've heard a lot of good things about this Weapons. I know there's been a lot of hype, a lot of people talking about it. We liked Barbarian. I've heard, you know, Zach say that if you liked Barbarian, that this is just tenfold better, tenfold crazier, just ten, you know, whatever, more intense, or however, I don't remember how he put it, but, you know, I mean, they're not giving us much here except disappearance of high school students in a small town, but I'm still very much looking forward to it, just because of his name attached to it.
No, absolutely. And the marketing for this movie has been really weird. They've
I
like
know.
had these little clips of, like, kids are running around outside and stuff. And it's interesting. It's I don't know. I'm very interested to see, like, you know, what is this even going to be about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going to be the source of whatever the hell is happening? So. I'm excited. Also, this movie has Julia Garner, who was in the Wolfman movie. She was like the mom in that. She was also in Apartment 7A. So she's getting a lot of work this last couple of years.
Well, good for her.
That's right. But all right. That is it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. That was a lot. That was a lot of stuff to go through, and our stuff to co-host ran a little while too because we were just rocking back and forth. So,
right,
we're going to take a quick break, catch our breath, and when we come back, we will have our first. I'm sorry, first, our only review of Until Dawn.
Hey, Bruiser buddies! I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, we're back here and listen to the screams. We'll try to buzz through this. We'll try to keep this a little bit of bridge because the Stump the co-host ran a little wild and long. We did have a lot of news and stuff to cover. And but we are reviewing Until Dawn. The movie was written by Blair Butler and Gary Dauberman, directed by David F. Sandberg, starring Ella Rubin, Michael Cimino, Odessa Azeon, Ji-Young Yu, Belmont Camellia, Maya Mitchell, and more. It is described as a group of friends trapped in a time loop where mysterious foes are chasing and killing them in gruesome ways, must survive until dawn to escape it. There is where the title comes from. The movie was released on April 24th in theaters, and it grossed $8,003,402 domestically, good for number five on the weekend. I have to say, that was probably disappointing for them. Because it's funny when you look at the top four are like big gainers. I mean, like, you know, Minecraft and Sinners, and they're still grossing $40 million. All, you know, and there was a big drop there. I have to think they were hoping for more than 8 million. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And, I don't know. We might be of split minds on this one. Like, cause I don't know. I don't know what you, we have, like we said, we don't talk about this ahead of time. I didn't really care for this movie. I like the blood, the kills, all that, right? I'm down with all that. I kind of thought the movie drug a little bit. I kind of thought the movie, to be fair, to me, it was just a little bit boring. I thought it could have been, I don't know. It just like, there wasn't a lot of hook to it that kept going. It was the same kind of thing coming over and over, and I get that's the concept, but it just, I don't know. And there was never any point, anything major that really surprised or caught me off guard to bring my attention back up. It just felt kind of flat to me all the way through. I talked to someone, our mutual friend Red, about this, and because I thought maybe it's a not understanding source material the way, and I don't know, you can correct if wrong here. I don't know anything about the games. He said this is not even really that diehard based on the games. The principle is, but that the time loop's not really a hard basis off the games. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this is technically a prequel from what we learned in this. It's a prequel to the game. So
there's a credit scene that, yes, I've heard kind of establishes that this is, if they do something else, that this will more than likely be a prequel of sorts. Right. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. And I thought, you know, hey, I thought not knowing anything about the material. I mean, again, that shouldn't take anything away from the viewing experience. I don't know. I don't think it hurt or helped me either way. I don't know. This movie just never really hooked me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Because I don't have any connection to that. I don't know. It just felt like, to me, it just really felt flat. I don't even know what the runtime was, but it felt to me like it was just super long because it was just, I didn't feel like it was progressing very well. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. Not at all. So, Ike, what do you think?
Man, all right. So, Well, to answer your question, it is 1 hour and 43 minutes. So it's a little over, almost an hour and 45. But 1 hour and 43 is the runtime. So for me, from my perspective, I really enjoyed Until Dawn. I had played the video game prior, so I had some of the base knowledge of like what the Until Dawn games, provide, present. I think that the time loop thing, like you kind of mentioned, isn't explicitly stated in the video game. It's more of like a respawn mechanic, basically. So like there are certain like paths in the game where you just die and like you restart the game. So I guess that's kind of what they're going for is restarting at a certain point, if you die kind of thing. Basically a video game mechanic. A lot of video games do that, right? So yeah, I think that the game is a lot different than the movie. So there's this weird line where if you were expecting like a shot for shot remake of the game, you're going to be disappointed because the movie has really almost nothing to do with the game, minus the credit scene that we got. Well, I guess it's like right before the credits, but still. Beyond that, it's like it's its own story, and that's really important to think too for that side of the audience that's like really into Until Dawn. They're really looking forward to a faithful recreation of Until Dawn. That they kind of have to keep the mindset of this was not meant to be the Until Dawn movie, like from the video game. This was meant to be a story within the Until Dawn universe. On the other side of it, I could see why somebody would not like it, but for me, what really drew me into this movie was, A, it was a familiar property, but B, it had a lot of originality. So I wasn't getting the video game rehashed. I was getting a brand new story with brand new characters who I felt invested in. And I liked all the kills, all the different like little story loops that they went into. There was a lot of diversity and a lot of a lot of creativeness in the kills and the monsters and everything else. So there's a lot of really cool stuff in this movie that I feel like is worth, checking out from the perspective of just a normal horror fan. I will give that the one of the things that I thought could have been done better is there it felt a little discombobulated at parts. Perhaps that was the intention because, I mean, if I were in that scenario, I would probably be a little discombobulated. So maybe it was done purposefully as sort of like a meta way of, inviting the viewer into the movie. But there were some parts that I felt like could be a little better pieced together and perhaps a little less patchy in some ways. But overall, I really much very much enjoyed the movie. It was very unique and it was really cool to kind of see Until Dawn be put on TV or not on TV, but on the big screen and be able to, see that Sony like Marvel-esque like opening that they had with all their Sony IPs and whatnot. So that was really cool. I liked it, but I could see why somebody wouldn't. It's definitely a unique experience,
I'll agree with that. It's definitely
I think.
unique, but yeah, just not my thing. I know there's been a lot of people that have liked it. I've seen that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I think this is definitely one of those movies, right? I think it's probably going to have a divide, right? You like this or you don't, and I think it's because of just the style of the movie is, right? I don't know. I do. Whatever thing, I don't think there's a lot of middle ground on this one.
Right.
I just don't see this having a lot of middle ground general appeal. It's not like it. So, yeah, I don't know. Not my thing. So, all right. So, if we were yelping, I think our ratings are going to cancel each other out probably. I'll go first. No surprise. I'm sorry. Just didn't care. This is a 2 out of 5 for me. Just not my cup of tea, not one that I would care to rewatch, really. I don't know. Didn't work for me. Maybe I'm too old. I don't know. But I'm giving it a 2 out of 5. Ike, what are you giving it?
Yeah, I'm giving this a 3.5 out of 5. I thought that the you know I thought that this was like a pretty decent you know a pretty decent flick. It had a lot of redeeming qualities for me in terms of like the video game perspective, but just the general concept was just really entertaining to me. And maybe I'm just a little bit of a sucker. Maybe I have a little bit of that nostalgia from when I used to play the game a lot and everything else. But yeah, I mean, 3.5 out of 5 is where I'd put it. It was just above average for me. I will say my immediate reaction out of the theater was, oh, that's a 4. But I sat on it and I did kind of, you know, think a little bit about some of the things I think it could have done better. And that's where I got the 3.5 from versus just immediate 4 out of 5. So 3.5 out of 5 from moi.
Well, if you're making your movie picks based on our ratings, you're on your own on this one. We,
yes.
you don't get a lot of consensus on us. So, you know what? I just recommend you go see it and make your own assumptions or make your own, opinions on it. So, all right, there you have it. Go see it. Go see Until Dawn. 8 million out of the gates. Oof. Probably not great for, I'm guessing this budget was probably up there a little bit. So go see Until Dawn and help it out. And, it needs to make some money. I don't know. I just don't feel like 8 million is probably not what they were hoping out of the gates, but,
yeah,
I don't
the
know.
estimated budget was 15 million and,
oh, that's not bad then.
Yeah. The gross worldwide, I think it says was 18. So
yeah, that's not bad.
Assuming that's accurate, they've probably made about their money back, but we'll see.
I guess I just assumed it'd be higher since movies cost so damn much in this day and age. So I don't know. That's not bad then. That's not bad. Like we mentioned earlier, next episode we are reviewing Project MKHEXE or whatever, MKHEX, however, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's supposed to be. We won't know until we watch it exactly. That's one of the great mysteries and one of the things I'm most looking forward to seeing in this movie is just how do you say that, right? Do you spell it out? Do you say, you know, MKHEX? Do you say, I don't know? We'll see. That's just one of the great, life's great mysteries. But we are reviewing whatever that is. Next episode, I'm super psyched, super excited. This sounds just super fun. I'm hoping it holds up because I don't know what it is about this that's got me hooked. But I am looking forward to it. That's next episode. We'd like to say thank you to our wives and then all of you, all of our listeners and followers for tuning in and listening to us. For all your likes and interactions and follows on social media, please keep that up. Please give us more feedback. We love hearing from you. Speaking of social media, make sure you subscribe to us and follow us on all these social media platforms. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 and Screams, and you will find us there. Also, make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. We're on all of them. And whichever one you listen on, if it's an option, please give us a rating, a review, and please share our episodes. All those things helps us in those beautiful algorithms that those platforms have where we will come up as suggested listens for other subscribers. So, all right, before we close out, is there anything you want to add?
Oh, man, nothing horror-related. I think I'm horrored out right now. Yeah, I mean, it just... good times, went and saw that movie. I tried the new Reese's peanut butter and jelly. I don't know if you've tried those yet.
Yeah, pretty good.
They're pretty good. I we're divided in my household. Kayla thinks that the strawberry is better. I think the grape is better. What's your consensus?
I'm a grape guy, but I love grape. I do like strawberry too, but I love grape jelly.
Same. That's my go-to for PB&Js typically, is grape jelly over strawberry.
Absolutely, definitely. But I will say that Reese's, I don't know that they've ever made a product that I've disliked completely. I am probably their biggest advocate and fan. Love them.
Love Reese's Cups. But other than that, no. I mean, just
my standard is the big cup. I love the big cup.
Honestly, the big cup revolutionized the Reese's cup game because now you have to.
It did.
I feel like every other candy, it's not big enough. It's not a big cup.
No, it's so American now. I'm so used to the big cup. When I eat a normal Reese's cup, so I'm like, what's this little bite size shit? This is not enough. This is nothing. But I do love the big cups. I love everything Reese's. I love all their little fun shapes for the holidays. They can put anything in those big cups. I'm pretty good. I love them, so super excited. But yeah, bring it on. Reese's, just keep doing your thing. Though I'm telling you though, big cups with potato chips. Oh my. That is still one of the best things they've ever done.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Kayla likes those, and she likes the one with the what is it, the pretzel pieces that they had. That was pretty
Yeah,
good
yeah.
too.
Got that whole salty sweet combination. It's just delicious.
Absolutely. Now I want a Reese's cup.
I always want a Reese's cup, but that's so be it. All right then. That's it. It is dinner time though, so I am hungry.
Yes.
That will appease me. So we bid you all farewell. And until next episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.